Amen. I think that's a powerful video. Something that a lot of us need to remember, that we've read the end of the book. We know how things turn out, right? So no matter what comes in between, we can survive it. Amen. Amen. I'm going to move this here for a second because I could just see that going bad real quick. Good morning. Man, God is so good. God is so good. You know, I never really have been one that likes to preach, believe it or not. Matter of fact, I really don't like preaching all that much. I just want to share a quick testimony. We're going to read a little bit of Hebrews today. And I've been reading a lot of Hebrews chapter 11, which is all on faith. And I really have been really reflecting on my life a lot lately. And just all that God has gotten me through and what God has called me to. And I got to be honest with you, I spent a little bit of time complaining to God because I was like, Lord, like, you know, I get so stressed out sometimes when I have to preach. You know, because I have the understanding that, man, if I get up there in some odd words, it's not going to go so well. I mean, like, you know how my announcements go. They're not anointed. You know what I'm saying? And so I'm like, God, this thing is such a burdensome thing sometimes. Why me, God? You know, I think I failed an English class in high school, you know? And I thought about that, and I was just asking God, like, why me, Lord? Why have you called me to preach? And you know what God said? He just whispered gently in my ear. He said, Jordan, I did so for your benefit. I did it so that you might come to believe and trust in me, so that you might experience me in all of my goodness and all of my glory. I did it for you. See, I thought that, oh, God called me to preach so it can just benefit others, which, you know, I pray that it does. But God said, Jordan, this thing that you're complaining about is for your blessing, so you can look back and say, look what God got me through. When I didn't have the words, God gave me the words. And I'm just blessed. And I'm honored to stand here before you today. I've been reading Hebrews a lot lately, like I said, and I love Hebrews chapter 11. It is a powerful chapter on faith. And it's a great thing to read when you're feeling like you're lacking in your faith. And just it's crazy how much I've been reading it here lately. Probably, you know, almost every other day, just been reading through it. And it was funny because as you read through it, you'll notice it says, by faith, Abraham did this. By faith, this person did this. By faith, this person did that. It wasn't on any of their own abilities, but it was by faith. And as I'm reading this, and it's just like, wow, that's pretty powerful. And God said to me, what would that say if it said, by faith, Jordan, what would be said of my life? At the end of my life, when I take my last breath, what will have been seen or said of my faith? And it just hit me. I was just like, wow, that's true. Because sometimes we think that faith is this thing that we dress up and we put on a show. But faith is much deeper than that. Faith is much deeper than a title that you have somehow attained. It's more than what you wear, what you do, what you say. It's more than that. And I challenge you at the very beginning of this to be thinking about, if your name was written in here and it says by faith, add your name in there, what will have been said of your faith? And so I want to start with Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, before I read it, I want to ask a question. Did everybody receive a packet like this morning? Everybody got one? Okay. This is going to come in handy, and you're going to need your pen or pencil, okay? So if you don't have a pen or pencil, ask your neighbor for one, right? If you can't read or write, ask your neighbor to do it for you. So, but you're going to need that. So Hebrews 11:1. Everybody there? Says this. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. One more time, it says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And from there on, it goes on to explain about by faith, all these people accomplished these mighty things. Mighty things that they were totally unqualified for. And I believe that the church today talks more about faith than we act upon it. I mean, isn't that true? We talk about faith. We tell people to have faith. We claim to have faith. We wear shirts that talk about our faith because we think somehow that that's really showing our faith when we show up somewhere with a Christian t-shirt on or a Christian armband. We talk about it all the time. We say amen, hallelujah, praise the Lord to it. But what do we do with it? And I realized, for the longest time that I had this firm belief on what I thought faith was, how it worked, how it applied to me. And I found out that I am oh so wrong. I was oh so wrong for the longest time until I started to put things together. See, I think sometimes we look at faith as being more of a belief system or some sort of statement, some sort of invisible force, but it's so much more than that. It's so much more than that. It's. I think we like that because if it's just a statement, we don't have to do anything. We just say that, oh, I have faith. That doesn't show your faith. Right? Faith is when we act upon it. Faith is an action. It's not just something that we cling to. It's an action. And so I want to read to you. I want to look at a piece of scripture today that gives us a great, wonderful example. So I want you to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. And I think a lot of you have heard this. We hear it a lot in Sunday school. We hear it a lot in church. But I think that we miss out on some key things. You know, I reread this. We're going to read about the account of David and Goliath. But now this morning, I want you to think outside the box a little bit. I'm going to do my best not to confuse you. I want you to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. And we're just going to read verses 20 through 54, but I encourage you later to go back and read the whole account of David and Goliath. So we're going to start at 1 Samuel 17, starting at verse 20, and we're going to read through 54. It says this, early in the morning, David left the flock with a shepherd, loaded up and set out as Jesse had directed. He reached the camp as the army was going out to its battle positions, shouting the war cry. Israel and the Philistines were drawing up lines facing each other. Verse 22. David left his things with the keeper of supplies and ran to the battle lines and greeted his brothers. As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out from his lines and shouted his usual defiance. And David heard it. Verse 24. When the Israelites saw the man, they all ran from him in great fear. Now the Israelites had been saying, do you see how this man keeps coming out? He comes out to defy Israel. The king will give great wealth to the man who kills him. He will also give him his daughter in marriage and will exempt his father's family from taxes in Israel. Verse 26, David asked the men standing near him, what will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? They repeated to him what they had been saying and told him, this is what will be done for the man who kills him. When Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him and asked, why have you come down here? And whom did you leave those few sheep in the desert? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle. Verse 29. Now what have I done? Said David. Can't I even speak? He then turned away to someone else who brought up the same matter, and the men answered him as before. What David said was overheard and reported to Saul, and Saul sent for him. David said to Saul, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. Verse 33, Saul replied, you are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a boy, and he has been fighting man from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it and struck it and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it and killed it. Verse 36, your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who has delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord will be with you." Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened the sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. "I cannot go in these," he said to Saul, "because I am not used to them." So he took them off. Then he took a staff in his hand and chose five smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand approached the Philistine. Verse 41. Meanwhile, the Philistine with his shield bearer in front of him kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw he was only a boy, ruddy and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, "Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. "Come here," he said, "and I'll give you your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." David said to the Philistine, "You come at me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord God Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the carcass of this Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel." Verse 47, "All those who gathered here will know it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you, all of you, into our hands." As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward him, towards the battle line to meet him. Verse 49, reaching into his bag, taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down to the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. David ran and stood over him. He took hold of the Philistine's sword, drew it from the scabbard. After he killed him, he cut off his head with the sword. When the Philistines saw that their hero was dead, they turned and ran. Then the men of Israel and Judah surged forward with a shout and pursued the Philistines to the entrance of Gath and the gates of Ekron. Their dead were strewn along the Shirim road to Gath and Ekron. When the Israelites returned from chasing the Philistine, they plundered their camp. David took the Philistine's head and brought it to Jerusalem, and he put the Philistine's weapons in his own tent. Now there's a lot there. There's some powerful stuff there. I find it interesting when you compare and contrast David and Goliath. There's some interesting things that stick out. And I think that we can't help but look at those things from a physical perspective. When you think about it, from a physical perspective, it was kind of suicide, right? In the physical realm, it made no sense whatsoever to go out there. Right? He wasn't even big enough to be able to carry around this sword and shield that was given to him, so he took it off. I mean, think about that. Who goes up against a giant like that with a sling and some stones? I find that Goliath was a Philistine champion who had been fighting since he was a boy. David was but a young shepherd boy. Goliath was cheered on by the Philistines and feared by the Israelites. David was underestimated, misunderstood, and doubted. In many ways, this was an impossible situation physically, right? It was crazy and suicide by man's standards for sure. But check this out. This is where it changed. Goliath was decked out with armor, had mighty strength, and came against David with a spear and sword. David was without armor, but he had mighty faith. And he came against Goliath with a sling and five stones. But don't you know that it wasn't the stones that killed Goliath, but it was the faith in the living God who went before him that struck Goliath down. He didn't need five stones. It was the God that went before him. See, the difference was David. See, Goliath was coming at David physically. Physically, he was coming at David. He took the battle in the physical realm. David came to battle in the spiritual. Because don't you know that everything that happens in the physical is a direct result of what happens in the spiritual? Amen? See, but many times, like I say, you know, we look at that and we say, praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. We believe that faith does these things, right? At least we talk like we do. But the thing that's so sad is we never seem to apply it in our own life. We never apply it in our own life. We say, praise God. You just got to have faith and keep on keeping on till it happens to us. And all of a sudden, it's all no. I can't do this anymore. But we have great faith, right? See, there was this scripture, this really famous scripture, that, you know, I remember hearing in Sunday school, and we hear it in church all the time. We see it printed on T-shirts and memes on Facebook, all kinds of things, right? Faith of a mustard seed will move mountains, right? We read that, you know, but I got to be honest with you. Many times I've read that and became greatly discouraged. I most times people might read that and think, well, you know, you just got to have the faith of a mustard seed and it'll move mountains. But to me, that really discouraged me because I saw the mountains of my life that weren't moving. And I thought, wow, my faith just must really suck. I have terrible faith. It'd be extremely discouraging. So that scripture always kind of made me angry a little bit. Maybe kind of hate myself a little bit because I thought, well, I just must not have any faith. The packet that was handed to you is actually a packet of mustard seeds. And you'll notice they're extremely small. So when you look at that and think, wow, you're telling me that if I had faith that big that I could do all these things? What? Well, my faith must be really small. Because I'm seeing the Goliaths in my life and the mountains in my life, and it feels like they're just overtaking me. And I see a lot of people give up their faith because they think, well, it's not getting any better. So it must be me. And for me, that's how it was. But then something changed. I started to look at the whole mustard seed thing different. I really started to think about this for a second. Faith of a mustard seed. Smallest seed, but yet when it comes to full growth, it has branches so big that birds can perch on it. That's crazy how you get something so big from a seed so small. And so I started thinking about that for a second. It's the smallest seed that I could find. And so I started to think about this, and I started thinking, you know what? If I'm a believer in Christ, I do have mustard seed faith because it's the smallest of faith that we can have. And you've got to have some form of faith in order to know Christ, right? In order to have a relationship with Him, right? It's our faith in Christ that brings us salvation, right? It's our faith in the grace that He gives us. At the very least, we have mustard seed faith, and I started to think about that. Now, don't get me wrong. We should be growing in our faith, and we do so by exercising it. You know, it's like muscle. If you don't use it, you lose it, right? Many of us can have faith in a quick moment, and then back to, oh, poor me, you know. God's left me. You know, I've got this horrible faith. I don't even have faith, God. I just feel miserable. And I realize that, man, it's not so much about the amount of faith you have. It's the fact of whether you use it or not. Right? See, the devil is afraid of all faith. Because all faith, right, the smallest of faith can do mighty things, amen? Can do mighty things, right? Just like, you know, our youth ministry at Spark, you know, Spark can start something big. Everything big starts with a small spark. Everything big starts with small faith and it grows, amen? And so, you know, I was talking to some people this morning and I said, you know what? I said, I'm really an outside the box thinker. I am. You know, it all started in PGF with Greg and then Dave Grissom Sunday School class. It really started to teach me about thinking outside of the box. And I started thinking, you know, I sometimes have a hard time sitting in a service, right, that's just whatever. See, I'm an outside-the-box thinker. I like to read something and think, okay, I've got to be missing something here. So I started to think about that. I started to think, you know, God, I want this message to be kind of outside the box. And I started thinking about things, and God said, but isn't that just like your faith? Well, what do you mean, Lord? Isn't your faith supposed to be outside the box? So I said, okay, Lord. So I decided to bring my box of faith with me this morning. And so this is my faith box here, okay? So what we have here is I've got different types of faith in here. See, and I'm a little bit I think of faith, like I said, I'm a little bit of a pyro, right? I love things that go boom and things that light up. And so I thought, well, what better example than to have some flammable things? But don't worry, I've got my fire extinguisher. So we're going to unbox some of our faith. And if you look here, this is the Hebrew word for faith, which is emunah, which means faith, right? So some of us have small faith, mustard seed like faith. And I was thinking about this, right? So hold on for an example. I need this here. So this is what God has called us to do, right? So our goal is to light this candle, okay? So, see, there's our task. That's what God has laid before us. That's what we have to have faith to do, right? Now, small faith, mustard seed-like faith, little faith, sucky faith, right? It's not great, but it's little, right? Right? I bet you never heard that before in a sermon. So here's our little faith, right? This is little faith. That's a big candle, right? Will this light that candle? Right, of course it'll light the candle, right? So this is our small faith, our little faith, right? Right? If I wanted to, I could light that candle. It doesn't take much, right? But we have to be careful with it, right? Right? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, right? We don't want Satan to blow it out, so we got to be careful with it. But don't you know that small faith, that's kind of how it is when we start out, right? Right? We got this little pack of faith, right? And sometimes it easily burns out. We have to be careful with it. We light it, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, great, you know. Oh, I better get my little faith out, right? We just get it out when we need it from time to time, right? All of us, if we're serving Jesus, we all have the ability to light the candle, right? Okay, so that's little faith, right? So as we grow in our relationship with Jesus, right, which we should be, our faith should be getting bigger. Like I said, when we exercise our faith, it gets bigger. So what we have here, okay, we got something with a little more reach, right? A little more reach, right? It's a little cooler, right? And it's got some fuel to it. And sometimes it takes a little bit to get it started. But once it gets started, right, we got a long reach. And if we wanted to, we could light this candle, right? Right? So we could light the same candle that the small faith had the ability to light, right? Right, so then we start to grow and we start to pray, right? And our faith gets just a little bigger. And so, this is the biggest Zippo I could find. So our faith gets bigger, right? It gets a little more attractive, you know what I'm saying? So it gets a little bigger. Now, if we wanted to, we could use this and light the candle, right? Faith, right? Right? You could do the same thing with this as you can with the smaller one. Right? As we're growing in Christ, but it becomes a little more difficult to turn off, right? And, you know, sometimes it's hard to get it to go out. So it becomes a little stronger, becomes a little different. See, I always had a problem with that song a little bit. Like, I love that song, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm going to Let It Shine." But as I got older, I realized I really don't like that song. Because as I'm getting older, the light should be getting bigger. It shouldn't be "This Little Light of Mine." It should be getting bigger. It should be getting "This Bigger Light of Mine." So now what we have, now we start to get fueled by a little bit of prayer, right? And when you add some prayer power, you know, devil starts getting scared. Now, the devil is scared of all faith, but when you've got, you know, a little bit more in the tank, you know, he starts to get a little more nervous, you know what I'm saying? And if I wanted to light, you know, that candle, you know, I very easily could, right? And it stays lit, and I got this full tank. I know Todd's getting nervous back there. you know, and I could do the same thing with this, right? It's powerful faith. It's scary faith. I see the look on some of your faces. I know it's scary, right? Right? And so we could do powerful things with that, right? And so I think, wow. Now, you think, oh, has he got something bigger? Of course we got something bigger. So I started thinking, now, the faith that it takes to slay a giant, right? We got to have some prayer power. So what I brought this morning, what I have is, now, I had been tempted to demonstrate. And with Pastor Jerry being gone this Sunday, I thought this would be a good Sunday to do that. But I think I won't, just for insurance purposes and because, you know, I don't want to burn the church down. Of course, that would enable us to do all the renovations we want to do, wouldn't it? But now, all of this faith has the power to light this candle, amen? Now, which one do you really want? You want this one. It's powered by prayer. The closer we draw to Jesus, the bigger our faith gets. And if you're on the receiving ends of one of these, which one is going to scare you the most? This one. Right. Good answer. Right? So we've got our faith box. But let me tell you something. What good does it do if we have all these resources, but we keep them in our box? We've got to get our faith out of the box. See, but some of us, we get so distracted and discouraged because, well, my faith doesn't look like this. My faith just looks like this. Well, you know what? If you would get your faith out a little more and use it and draw a little closer to Jesus, your faith could be like this. Stop having self-pity on yourself and get on your knees in prayer and draw near to Jesus, right? He is the author and the perfecter of our what? Of our faith. That's the problem. See, we get saved and we go through a situation and we think that we're supposed to have this in order to get through our situation. Well, God says, oh, if you would just get out your faith and you would start to use it and draw near to me and be obedient, I'll give you the faith you want if you use the faith you have. Faith is no good if you keep it boxed up, no matter how good your box looks. You know, it's crazy. We look at our faith and we look at people who have great faith and we look at that person. Well, I can never be like that person. Well, what's the difference? They use their faith and you don't. I hate to say it, but it's the truth. And how many times do we stand up in church, right? And all faith is dangerous and accomplishes great things. Our desire should be to grow in our faith and see even greater things take place in us. This doesn't matter about the amount of faith you have. It's whether you use it. And when you use it, it grows. It grows. You know, it's crazy. We say that we have faith in God, and we say that He'll provide, but we aren't willing to tithe on our first fruits, are we? Oh, I have faith in God. God's my provider. But I can't, you know, I'll tithe after my bills are paid or after all this is done. God says, give me your first fruits. We say we have faith in God to lead us to the person that God has for us to marry, but we go from relationship to relationship with any person that'll tell us that'll love us, and we take our heart right out of the hands of God and give it to the first person that'll smile at us or say they love Jesus too. We have faith in that, but our walk is totally different. We have faith for it, but we certainly don't use it. We say we have faith in healing, right? We have faith in the prayer when we pray, right? We have faith in we say we have faith in healing, but we get worried when the doctor gives us bad news. We worry about, I got to go to this doctor and that doctor. Isn't it something how we believe we have faith in healing, but the first person we call isn't Christ to heal us a lot of times, and we worry about it, and we stress about it. We say we have faith in what God is calling us to do, but we give up when things don't happen like we expect. God gives us a promise and we tend to walk away from it because, well, God, this isn't happening the way that I had expected. My life isn't going the way that it's supposed to. You know, I could go on and on, and to be honest with you, I'm guilty of them all. Every last one of them. See, earlier I talked about an important key in David's victory. Right? I said that David took the battle to the spiritual, and as a result, it comes pass in the physical. You know, and so Lord kind of laid on my heart to name this message, right, What's in the Dirt. And you're probably thinking, well, what in the world does dirt, flamethrowers, and David and Goliath have to do with my faith, right? Well, just hold on. See, something that God has really been laying on my heart, I mean, like, anybody ever, and I know we all go through tough times where you don't understand why things are happening, right? I remember, I think I may have shared this story about going to Children's late at night to minister to a family whose one-year-old, or it was a five-month-old baby, had died in its crib. That was really difficult. And I went there praying with all the faith that could move mountains for resurrection and for healing. Because this whole family, I mean, I met them once. I don't know how I ended up getting called. I was kind of mad at God. I'm like, God, I don't get it. What do I say? And I show up there, and I'm like, God, I'm not going to say anything unless you tell me to say it. I don't get this. And I remember sitting there in this hospital room. I wasn't planning on going into a room where the baby was. And I remember they asked for me to come back there and pray for the family. And none of them saved. I'm saying, God, if you could just, resurrection, God, I have faith. Lord, if you raise Lazarus from the dead, I know you can raise this dead baby. I know it. I know it. And imagine the whole family could be saved. And I remember just sitting there and I prayed for the family. And then I sat there beside the dad who had his hands and his face and his hands. And I just remember just me and him. I just remember just quietly praying. I was praying with all the might. And I remember a couple people even texted me because I had texted some friends, hey, pray for me. Kind of gave an update on the situation. And they say, praying for a resurrection. And I was. And I was just waiting to see the caller come back to the baby. And I'm just praying and I'm praying and I'm praying and I'm praying. I've got faith. God, I know you can. I know you can. I know you can. But He doesn't. I was praying for the family. I was like, God, great and mighty things could happen through this resurrection. When the healing didn't come, I was kind of disheartened. I was really disheartened by it. Broke my heart. Really shook my faith. I'm like, God,
I don't get it. Faith of a mustard seed. You're saying I don't have the faith, God? I don't get it.
And you know, as I looked at that child, I said, God, that poor baby. And you know what God said to me? He said, poor baby. He said, that child's not there. That's but an empty shell. And I'm just like, God, but why didn't you heal it? I said, Lord, you could have brought the whole family to you. He said, Jordan, he said, if you only focus on what's happening in the physical, you'll miss out on what's going on spiritually. He said, I am. He said, I am. And it reminded me of the whole, isn't my glory sometimes best revealed in the midst of brokenness? See, your faith was in the physical, Jordan. I need you to, your faith to be in the spiritual. Your focus needs to be in the spiritual, right? That scripture, it puts a whole new perspective to that scripture where it says, anything that you loose on earth will have already been loosed in heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will have already been bound in heaven. What does that mean? That means that you got to address the situation in the spiritual and then see it come to pass in the physical. Because if you only focus on the physical, you'll miss out on what God is doing eternally. And eternally, God is working in that situation, in that family. And my faith isn't in, well, God, could you just bring this baby back to life? It's no, God, can you bring this family to life in the spiritual? That's faith. That's where God wants us to put our faith, right? And it's so crazy because over the past 6 months, I've been driving on the way to work. I pass this sign almost every day on the way to work. And for the past year, every time I look at it, I've always felt like God was trying to tell me something, but I just didn't get it, right? I didn't get it, but in the right time, don't you love it when just in the right time, God reveals things to you? So this sign, right, it sets in front of an Ohio State research farm. And it just says vision site. And as you look over, you see different plots, different empty plots. And I remember just driving past it, and I see that all the time. All the time I pass that, and I see it. I'm just like, what? God, what? There's some significance there. And I started thinking, now, some of you may remember when we talked about purpose, right? Purpose, right? It's conceived in vision. It's birthed out of obedience. It grows in prayer. And it operates in the power of the Holy Spirit, right? It's important. If we're going to find our purpose, right, it's conceived in vision. All right, and that was the message that I preached about being more than a visionary, right? And I started thinking about something. I started thinking, man, if the devil can get a hold of that conception point, that birthing point of that vision that God has given us, he can destroy us altogether. And I started thinking about this vision side. And I just thought, man, isn't that just like our life? See, God was speaking to me. He said, Jordan, he goes, see, you look at that vision site and you just see plots of dirt. You don't see anything because of the season that you're in right now, but you don't see anything. But what you don't know is amazing things are happening in that dirt. He said, what you see above the dirt is all physical. The spiritual takes place in the dirt. It's not about what's above the dirt. It's about what's in the dirt. Oftentimes, we become so disheartened by what's above the dirt that we miss out on the seeds that are in the dirt. I mean, think about this. Imagine yourself going up to a farmer, right? The farmer goes up and he goes, well, you know, I'm going to take you along for the day to show you what I do, right? Imagine the farmer having these seeds and he preps the ground and he goes and puts these seeds in, right? You come back with him the next day, he sees that there's just dirt still there. Walks away, gives up on that plot, walks away. You'd think he's crazy, wouldn't you? What kind of farmer plants a seed and expects it to be whatever the next day? That's crazy, but how often do we do that in our life? I mean, it's kind of like working out. Like, if you ever try, like, a diet or something or a workout, 2 days later, you're looking in the mirror like, God, I still got love handles. I don't get it. You know, this isn't working. You know what I mean? And you lose hope. You're like, well, I'm going to, you know, if I'm not seeing results, right? It's crazy. It's like working out and trying to see results the very next day. Ain't going to happen, right? But that's like God gives us seeds, these seeds of promise. Which, by the way, these are mustard seeds in here, by the way. And so, I was thinking about this, and I even think about this in my own life. I think about the promises that God gave me. I think about the vision that God gave me for the youth ministry, for my life. And you know, God plants in the dirt. Sometimes I become so disheartened because I don't, God, I planted them, but I don't see anything. God said, you're looking in all the wrong places. What you don't know is what I'm doing in the spiritual. What I need is I need you to have faith. See, so I was thinking, if the devil can distract us, discourage us, pull us away from our vision sight, from watering that seed, from being faithful to that seed, he can destroy our whole purpose. He can destroy our whole purpose. God has a purpose and a plan for each and every one of us. Can you imagine if the devil can take away the vision, he could take away everything else? But see, it's funny because the devil can't necessarily take it away. He can't take it. The devil can only take what you give him. But I have a picture real quick, if you would show that. I saw this and I thought, man, this so many times describes my life. It does. I'm hard at work. I'm going. God says to keep going, and there's going to be a breakthrough. And eventually we come to a point where we just kind of think, that's it. All I'm getting is dirt. There's nothing. But can you imagine if only he would have just dug just a little bit more? He would have unleashed all that God had for him in his purpose. I want to be like the guy above that is hard at work. I can't see what's beyond this dirt, but I know that God is doing something in the dirt. And if I just keep on, if I'll just put my faith in Christ, if I put my faith not on the things that I can see, but the things that I can't see. And isn't it just like Jesus, who was buried for 3 days, but then 3 days later rose up from that grave? Isn't that amazing? See, the vision side of things is a powerful thing. Seeds the vision. And you know what's so sad is God will give us these seeds. He gives us these. We're like, wow, this is awesome. Do you see the vision that God has given me? These are amazing. Check these out. For real. Like God gave me this amazing vision for my ministry, for my family. God says he's going to save my whole family. This is great. God says he's going to use me to reach people in Africa. Look, this vision is amazing. Couple things. You have to be careful who you share the vision that God gave you with, because there are some people who say, you are crazy. That makes no sense. But isn't it just like faith not to make sense? See, faith isn't when you can see it, right? Faith is a substance of things hoped for but not seen. In Romans, it talks about how Abraham had hope against all hope. It says his body was good as dead, but he was faithful. He knew that God was going to be faithful to the promise he had given him, that he was going to be the father of many great nations. Of a great nation, right? You're not even going to be able to count your descendants. And he had hope against hope. Many people would have looked at him and laughed. I mean, it'd be like Alma saying that I'm expecting. We would all be a little concerned. Right? It's an impossible thing. Faith is not when you can see the way out. Faith is not when it makes sense. Faith is when I have no clue how this is going to work out. People say it doesn't make sense. I know. This is crazy. I know. You know, people told me there were people both in different churches and people who were saved and not saved alike that when we decided to take teens to Haiti, they told me I was stupid, I was crazy. You know, I mean, I don't know how many people probably told Jeff that he was stupid or crazy for going to Haiti on crutches. Doesn't make any sense. Why would you do that? Because God made me a promise. God gave me a vision. God called me to this. That's why I keep on doing what I'm doing, because I'm trusting in God's vision and God's purpose and God's promise over my life. If I would just hold on to that faith as an anchor for my soul, I'll see it come to pass. But if you only focus on the physical, you'll miss out on what God is doing spiritually in your life. Can you imagine if the church today would wake up and they would take hold of these seeds and say, you know what, I don't care what happens, I want to water this seed. I want to plant this seed with faith. And you know what? If it takes a year, 5 years, 10 years, I want to see it through, because God made me a promise. God made me a promise. And I want to speak to some of you older generation today. I was talking to Greg and some people this morning. I said, you know what is amazing? I said, I'm so thankful for the seeds that were planted by the generations before me. I said, I'm so thankful that the seeds that people planted in me, that they didn't give up on me when I was a child. I said, there are some people, I can think of Bill Wicker, you know, he never got to see the full fruits of the labor of the seeds that he planted in me. I remember every Sunday he'd keep on keeping on. I remember that. To this day, I wake up and I hear the words of Bill Wicker. Well, how you doing, Jordan? Oh, I'm doing okay. Well, you just got to keep on keeping on. He doesn't realize the seed that he was planted in me. And I think of, in Hebrews, we read that some of the people welcomed in the promised land from, it says, from a distance. They never got to see the promised land. But isn't it something how sometimes we get to enjoy the fruit of the seed that was planted by the generation before us? And so, one, I want to encourage you that are older, that the seeds you might be planting in my generation and the younger generation, don't lose heart just because you may not be able to, you may never in this life see the fruit of your labor, but I can promise you, it is not in vain. It is not in vain. And for those of you here that are young, whether you're 5 or 105, you need to know that the seeds that were planted in you, God wants to fulfill. You need to be faithful to the seeds that were planted in you, to the visions that God gave you, to the things God called you to. God called you to something. And I don't care what your life looks like around you, I promise you that if you hold on to the promise that God gave you, that these seeds that you planted in the dirt, even though it might seem like a drought at times, even though it might seem like a downpour, that seed is going to poke its head through that dirt. And you're going to see it in the physical. But you got to be faithful in the spiritual before it comes to pass in the spiritual. See, many times in tragedy and all these bad things, we're so focused on what's going on in the physical, and we miss what's happening in the spiritual. If we don't look past the physical, you're going to miss out on purpose. You're going to miss out on the vision and the promise that God gave you. And I believe that God wants to start revival and an awakening in this church. But the only way it's going to happen is if we're faithful with the seeds that God gave us. And aren't you glad that God is faithful even in the midst of our unfaithfulness? Even when Abraham and Sarah started getting a little impatient and thought, oh, I've got a good idea. Wasn't such a good idea. Right? But God was still faithful to see that promise through. I want to read to you just one last scripture. And while we're turning there, or before we turn there, what I want you to do, I want you to do something. I want you to take your packet of seeds, and I want you to write on here. You could do one, you could do many. A vision or a promise that God has given you, where you need to have faith in. I want you to write it down. I want you to write it on it. An area of your life where God has given you vision or promise. I want you to write it down. And I also want you to write two scriptures. I want you to write Hebrews 11:1. And I want you to write Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion to the day of Christ Jesus. This thing that he's planted in you, this vision, this dream, this faith, right? This thing that we put faith in, these seeds of faith. You know what something is, we look at a seed, and I heard a preacher once say, he said, you know, you can cut an apple open and you can count how many seeds are in an apple. But you can't count how many apples are in a seed. Sometimes you might doubt the seed that was given to you because this is a little thing. I don't get it. I don't see how this is gonna work. Be faithful and plant those seeds. And don't get overly excited that God gave you the seeds that you get to plant them. And just know that even when you look out into that spiritual field that God has where you've planted your seeds, you say, Jordan, it's just dirt right now. It's okay because you don't understand what's happening in the dirt. Things are happening. Ground is moving. The seed is breaking open. Life is springing forth if you would just hold on. If you just hold on a little longer. But don't you know that where resistance is the greatest, breakthrough is the closest? Don't you know that? Don't you know when the scripture where it says, and on this rock I'm going to build this church and the gates of hell will not be able to prevail. Don't you know that if you're not having something come against you, you're probably not where you ought to be. And this morning, I believe that we're knocking on hell's door and we're going to burst forth through those gates. And I believe that God is going to do mighty things and people's dreams are going to be released. I believe that God's going to give people new vision, that he's going to reignite in you something that some of you might be here and you don't know Christ. You're like, that sounds great, but I, God wants to give you your seeds today. God wants to give you seeds today. And so here's what I want you to do is I want you to hold on to that packet that you wrote down, that vision, that area in your life where you need to have faith. And here's what I want to do. I've asked Bob if you'd come up and play a song and lead us into worship one more time. And as we worship, I want you to stand up and I want you to hold that packet in the air and I want you to declare it and I want you to pray for God to have faith, for God to give you that faith to see that through. And if you feel led, if you just want to draw near to Jesus, if there are some things in your life that you need to lay down, Maybe some of you are like, well, God gave me the seeds, but the ground is pretty hard. I need God to do some plowing up in my life. Listen, the altar is here. I want to pray for you. I want God to reignite the fire that you once had. I want God to give you vision. God has just promised me. He said, Jordan, he said, mighty things are going to happen today. God told me, he laid it on my heart. He said that there are some people that are here that are going to get vision for the first time. There are some people here that they've walked away from their vision, their seed, right before it was ready to come to pass. That family, remember, that you were waiting for to be saved? That ministry that you're waiting to take place? That growth? It's all here. You have it. God is just asking you to be faithful and trust in Him. There are areas in your life you're like, I can't take this anymore. God is asking you to just exercise your faith. Take your faith out of the box today. If you're willing to take your faith out of the box today, I promise you with my whole heart, God is going to do something in you today. And you're going to leave here different and you're going to know it. God said there are people in here whose heart has grown cold because of a seed that didn't sprout. But don't you know that my promise still stands? My promise still stands, and I want to soften their heart today. I want to water that seed, and they're going to see that seed sprout. God says there are some people in here that are young that you can never imagine being anything more than what you are. God says, I have a plan and a mighty purpose for your life, more than you could ever dream. These seeds I want to give you this morning, they're powerful. God says, the things that I want to put in you this morning, they're powerful, they're life-changing. And for your benefit, for the benefits of others, for my glory. You know, we read through Hebrews 11 and we see that nobody was really all that qualified to do what they did. The only difference between them and anybody else is the fact that they were faithful. That they had faith to plant their seeds and to stick through it thick and thin and say, God, I don't see anything yet, but I'm going to be faithful and water this. You got the child that's not saved. God, I know your word says that if I teach them the way they should go, they won't stray. I don't see it. God says, hold on. It's coming. You say, God, my life's a wreck right now. I don't see any of your promises coming through. God's saying, you've got to look, take it to the spiritual. Something is happening. Just trust me. Just trust me. Because the one who planted them in you is faithful to see it through. If you're just willing to just hang on, just keep on just a little bit longer. If you just get on your face before God just a little bit longer. Some of you here, been searching for things that you just like, God, you promised me this, but I don't see it happening yet. God wants to speak to you today. He has a place for you today. And so whatever it is, no matter what you've done, no matter how angry at God you are this morning, how lost you are, how discouraged you are, God wants to meet you right where you're at. I believe that the Spirit of God wants to breathe on us today. And so, I want you to stand as we worship. I want you to hold up your seed of promise. And I want you to just seek God. And if in that seeking God, He draws you up to the altar, awesome. Can we do this as we close in prayer? I want you to grab the hand of the person next to you. There's power in prayer. Prayer is fuel to the fire. Amen. You know, we all have got things that we're going through. We all got areas in our life in which we need to have more faith. Maybe we need to exercise our faith in something. We've all got different things we're going through. And where two or more are gathered, there the Spirit of the Lord is. Amen. And I want you to begin to pray for the person on your left, on your right. That God would just equip them. That God would bless them. That God would be in the midst of their situations in their life. So I want you to grab the hands of somebody. And we'll go pray. And we're going to make a declaration today that we're going to continue to pray for one another. And that we're going to see revival come in this church. That we're going to see an awakening take place in this church and in God's people. Lord Jesus, we lift up the persons on our left and on our right, God, and we pray that revival would come to their hearts, God, that an awakening would take place, God, that the seeds, Lord God, that you planted in them would come to pass, Jesus. I pray that you would just give us the faith and the fervorance, Lord God, God, to see it come through, Lord. I pray that we would take, Lord, the things into the spiritual, God, that we would give you the battle, Lord, that the things that we face, God, we're not going to face them on our own. We're not going to face them in our own strength, God, but the battle belongs to God. It belongs to you, God. God, we know that it's not the stones that kill Goliath, Lord, but it was you that went before him, God. God, I pray that you would just go before us, Lord. I pray that you would just ignite a fire in us, God. Put a fire in our bellies, God, that is inextinguishable, Lord. God, I pray that you'd help us to exercise and grow our faith. Help us to draw near to you, Lord Jesus. Help us to take hold of the promises that you gave us, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be faithful, God, that we would seek you, God, that we would praise you in the good and we'd praise you in the bad, God, that we would take everything that the devil has done to us and we would turn it into a living testimony. God, we bind the enemy in this place, God, not because we're binding it in the physical, but because we've bound it in the spiritual. God, I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that the things that we've loosed in heaven would come to pass on earth, God. I pray that the enemy would run and flee from this place, from our families, God. We declare that the lost loved ones would be saved today. God, I pray that visions would come to pass today. Lord, I pray that a revival would take place in our hearts, God, that you would breathe on these dry bones, God. I pray for strength for the weary, God. I pray for a light for those in the darkness, Jesus. I pray that you would just lead us into your perfect will, God. God, that we would honor you with our life, God, that we wouldn't give up on the dreams and the visions that you've given us, God, but that we would pursue them and that we would find them in the pursuit of you, God. That we would be more than just talk with our faith, God, but that those around us would see our faith and it would be dangerous faith, God. God, let it be faith that is powered by prayer. God, when others are running from a situation, let us run into it, Lord. But let us not run into it physically. Let us run into it in the spiritual, God. We're believing that you're doing mighty things. And no matter what the news says, no matter what the doctor says, no matter what they say, God, we're trusting in what you say. So, God, we take our seeds, Lord. And I ask that we would plant them, Lord, and that we would keep the faith. Help us keep our eyes on you. Help us not to miss out on what you're doing eternally, God. We thank you. We love you. We praise you, God. Be with each and every person, Lord. Be on our minds and our hearts throughout this week. Give us the strength to endure, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.